Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, today we reach the end of another Christian year. Seems a bit odd to be thinking about the end of the year at this point. We haven't even got to Christmas yet. But actually, the Christian year ends today. And next week, next Sunday, a new Christian year begins with the first Sunday of Advent. Now, over the course of this last year, we've been hearing the story of Jesus' life as it is told in the Gospel of Matthew. And in today's reading, Jesus takes us beyond the realms of this world and into a picture of what is to come at the end of time, the day of judgment. I don't know what that invokes in your mind, the day of judgment. Perhaps it's something that we don't really think about very often, or maybe we don't want to think about very often. But really, that is what the feast of Christ the King is all about. But maybe we shouldn't perhaps think about it in terms of judgment so much, but maybe an image of hope. It's the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. But then again, maybe this whole process is not as straightforward as we think it is. As you will have noticed in the reading that I've just read, there is a significant challenge in the words that we hear from Jesus today. And it mirrors the challenge that is given to the Hebrew people of the Old Testament. It's a challenge of how we are to behave, how we are to be as the people of God. So let's start with what we heard in that first reading that Jeff read for us this morning from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The reading began with these words. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. And it goes on to talk about how God will gather them together, bind up their wounds, strengthen the weak, and provide them with good grazing land in which they may lay down. These are encouraging words. It's a vision of comfort and care. But then it goes on to say this. I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. Now, it's an interesting image that we read about in this prophecy. It's all about the idea that God will, in the fullness of time, bring together all of those who belong to God. But the ones who are strong, who've used their power to make themselves fat, in the sense of gathering material wealth, the ones who use their power and authority and their strength to scatter the weak, those are the ones who face judgment. But the one that God has real concern for are the weak and the lost. And God will sit in judgment over them all. And Jesus picks up this same imagery, and I think he does so very deliberately. He picks up this idea of gathering the sheep, and he places himself in that same spot of being the shepherd. Now, if you've been coming along recently, you'll recognize that Jesus has been telling parables about this over the last few weeks. Parables about what happens to the people who are not ready for when this moment arrives. But this bit of the speech is not so much a parable, it's a statement of what is going to happen. So just as Ezekiel talks about how God is going to be the judge of all, well, here is Jesus saying that that judge is actually him. He is God, the judge. Remember what he says in the Gospel of John. All authority has been given to me by my Father. He is the one who judges, and he does so with the authority of God. So what does he describe as happening? He talks about how all the nations will come to him, and he will separate them out, the righteous on the one side and the condemned on the other. There is no middle ground. All of the people of all the nations are on one side or the other. Those who are found to be righteous are welcomed into the fullness of God's kingdom. And we might reflect back on that passage from Ezekiel, the good grazing land, those who have God for their shepherd, those who are with God forever. But those who are condemned are sent to be with the devil and his fallen angels. This is quite a challenging image. It's not one we think of much these days. In the medieval church, they talked about this a lot. If you go to Florence and go to the Duomo, and look up at the beautiful fresco in the dome, this is what is painted there. You will see Jesus, the king, at the center of the dome, with the righteous being gathered up by the angels and taken up, and those who are the unrighteous being fed down into the pots of Hades by demons with forks. It's a very literal image, but it gives you the idea. We don't talk about it very much. Maybe we should. Maybe we should talk about it more. It's a stark image. I think it shocked Jesus' followers at the time. I think it was meant to. And I think it's meant to shock us today. It's supposed to give us a jolt. We're meant to think. What are we supposed to be doing as Christians today? So the question might be, what really are the criteria of judgment? How do we know which side we fall on? Are we on the right side or the left side? How do we know? Well, the answer to that question will depend on which church you go into. To get your answer. And I've heard many, many different answers to this. Which way were you baptized? Upside down? Anyway. Have you made this declaration of faith? Have you sung this song? Have you been to this type of confession? Jesus doesn't mention any of these. So this is what I think Jesus is saying. The criterion of judgment that I read in here is how we treat the least of those who belong to Christ. Now, there's some debate as to whether or not that just means Christians. But if you look at the whole Gospel of Matthew, the message is not just for those who are part of the club. It means anybody. Anybody. Anybody who is outcast or abandoned. So I think this is the criterion of judgment. You're free to disagree, and there are plenty of church leaders who would. But this is what I think. Those who respond with compassion to human need are the ones who respond to Christ. And those who fail to respond to human need fail to respond to Christ. Now, it's interesting to note that both sides are surprised when they're told which side they're on. Both of them say, when was it that these things happened? When did that happen? And this is a question that we should always have at the backs of our minds. When was it that we responded to someone with compassion and love? When was it when we didn't respond? But But I don't want to leave you just with that message of worry at the end of the Christian year. Because there was another reading that was set for today. Jeff very kindly read us from the book of Ezekiel. But there is also a reading from Ephesians that was set for today. And I want to read that reading for you, but with a slight change. Paul wrote his letters to the various churches. And at the time, whenever that was, 50, 60 AD, they probably weren't that much bigger than this collection of Christians. So I want you to hear these words rather than Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I want you to hear these words as a letter of St. Paul to the Church of St. George, Rugby. These words are written to you. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head of all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You are the body of Christ in this place that fills all in all. If you want to know what love is, here it is, expressed in your lives. How do we share that with the world around us? That's our question for this coming Christian year. Who are we to be? How do we make that real for others and draw people in so that they too might make that step into the world of the righteous? Amen.